I'm Delta Work, and this is Very Delta. Today on the show, I'm joined by the very funny Dulce Sloan. We talk about good dick, broke dick, and good broke dick. But first, do you want to see me go off? Because I think you want to see me go off.
M.
Oh.
M.
Mom!
Are you a lady like me? Introspective, beautiful.
Oh, are you intellectual like me?
Beguiled by a bargain? You like wild times?
Like me?
Are you serving the community like me? Well, if you are, then you must be Very Delta.
I'm Delta Work, and this is Very Delta, a luxury public access podcast and YouTube talk show where I look gorgeous, speak extemporaneously, and invite fascinating people to sit on the couch and get Very Delta. Very Delta is for the woman whose social battery is always at a 10, but that cell phone battery is at 100. But first, let's get into some things that are Very Delta. You know who I love? I love the pink lipstick lady at my local Jack in the Box. And not just my local Jack in the Box. She's at all the Jack in the Box locations in my area. She is the most efficient, beautiful, communicative person I've ever experienced at a drive-thru. She's absolutely amazing. And we call her Pink Lipstick Lady because she wears the most bold, bright lipstick that for some people would be maybe too much, but I think for her, it's just enough. It might not even be enough because she's so powerful that she knows that pink is her power color. She puts that lipstick on and she is ready to run that Jack in the Box or any of those Jack in the Box locations like it's the fucking Navy. She's ready to go. I don't even remember her name, but I remember from her that we had really good interactions. This is before I moved. We had really good interactions. I always went through that drive-thru. I always got a Diet Coke on the way to work or an iced tea or whatever. And one time she comes around the corner and I realized, she's now the manager. And that makes me so happy when I go somewhere so consistently and I see someone who is so diligent at what they do that they just sort of move up in the ranks because they know how it goes. They know how to solve these problems. They know how to stop these problems before they even happen because they just go by the book, right? And they realize that sometimes there's a gray area where things fall through. And they also know, and I think she knows, that the customer is not always right. But she figures out a way in her customer service ability to make the customer think that what they're getting is exactly what they wanted. And that's the goal, is to make them think they're walking away with more than they bargained for not just a fix, not just a being heard, but being listened to. And that's what Pink Lipstick Lady does. The thing about her is that I moved last year and I was going to have a new Jack in the Box location, not far from my other one, but far enough that, you know, I didn't go to that one very often. And so I pulled around and I hear the voice and I think, she sounds like Pink Lipstick, but I don't think that's her. And I pull up and she's there and she's like, oh my gosh, hi, how are you? And I'm like, I'm great. How are you? I didn't know that you moved to this location. Now, of course, my anxiety hits me because I'm thinking to myself, this lady, if she moved here and she sees me here and she last remembers me there, I wonder if she thinks like, did he order food over there? And then he ordered food over here. Like, what is going on? Like, how hungry can you be? Like, how piggish can you be? And like, usually I'm just ordering something to drink. And honestly, I mean, I could go to more than one Jack in the Box in a day to get something to drink. I could, because I like a lot of ice, right? And, you know, I recently, producer Doug discovered these double size cans. And this makes me so happy, right? And also, look what he did there. Slides it over and puts in a little way to hold the straw so the straw doesn't really go anywhere. That's how it's done. If Doug had pink lipstick on, I'm telling you, It would be over for him. He could work at Jack in the Box. He could work here. He could really work anywhere. But Pink Lipstick Lady, she makes me so happy. And it's not about talking to people like, oh, hi, what can I do for you? Like, you don't have to do that. But it's just kind of a real thing. Like, hey, when you let someone know exactly what's going on. I was actually at that same Jack in the Box the other day, and I came through. And the girl that was at the ordering board in the drive-thru, I could tell she had an attitude problem. But I thought, you know what? I got to hold the space for it. Maybe it's been a shitty day. It was like 1:30, so it was just after lunch rush. So, you know, maybe people were shitty. I thought, let it go. It's not that deep. It's a fucking drive-thru. Calm down. And then I order the stuff, and I get to the window, and there's a guy there. And the guy has the beverages. And he's like, okay, so you ordered the – he said like this. Okay, so you ordered the da-da-da-da-da and the da-da-da-da-da, and then you also, both of those combos had the, and he's always like that. He's always just on it and friendly, not kissing ass, but just repeating what it is that you ordered so there's not a mistake. So he tells me the total, I give him the card, he gives me the receipt, the whole thing, and then he hands me the drinks and he walks away because he's probably checking on the actual food. So as the drinks are there, I stab one of the drinks with a straw and I take a sip and it's completely flat. And then I stab the other one, and that one's completely flat. So I look over in the window here, and there's the girl. And I was like, I took the cups out, and I set them, and I said, hey, I think your carbonation just ran out. It probably just happened. And she looked over, and she goes, yeah, it's broken. And then she keeps scooping, making drinks, because that's her job today, to do this and make the drinks. So I understand she's multitasking. And I said, well, can you change it? Like, there's no carbonation. She goes, well, I don't know how to do that. And I said, excuse me, come here. Do you sell raw French fries here? She said, what does that mean? This is a real full conversation while I'm waiting for the guy to bring the food. I wasn't holding anybody up because they were still holding me up. She said, what does that mean? I said, when people buy French fries, they expect them to be cooked so they can eat them. When I buy a $4, almost $4 for a large drink, and I take a sip of it and it's no good, I have to throw it away. So she goes, well, they're going to fix it next week. I said, okay, well, should I just sit here till next week? Or what are we going to do here? So the guy walks back up. He's like, is everything cool? I said, you know what? Can I just get just iced tea, I guess. I'll just have iced tea. And he goes, okay, is there something wrong with the soda? And I said, yeah, the carbonation is out. And she said that it's been out and it's not getting fixed till next week. So this information says to me that she has known all along that everybody that comes through that wants a carbonated beverage is not getting one. And she's not going to address it. So they're going to drive away on their lunch break, which they probably did. And they spent $4. Now, I don't know how much people are making in here, but $4 sounds like a significant chunk of someone's hourly wage. So if people drive through and they're buying a drink for $4 and they have to throw it away, how much time did they have to work in a day for free? Like, that's what that says to me. So the guy goes, oh, I'm sorry. He goes, let me go get the iced tea. So then he comes back and there's some confusion and he goes, iced tea, right? And I said, actually, no. Actually, cancel the whole order. So then the manager comes over and he goes, I'm so sorry. What's going on? I said, explain the whole thing. And he looks over at her and goes, why do you always talk so rude to the customers? You always do this. I've told you not to do that. And he says to me, sir, we can get you a carbonated drink from the dining room. That's what she should have been doing all along. We have a dining room set up with a whole other machine and we can give you drinks from there. I don't want you to cancel your order. And I'll also give you whatever you want. Now, at that point, my petty monitor had just turned on. And I felt like I was being heard, but I wasn't being listened to. So I said to him, unfortunately, I'm going to still have to cancel the entire order. This guy here that you work with is so nice. He's efficient. Every time he comes through, he's amazing. He offered to fix this. But the reality is that once you fix this and I leave, you're not going to have any record of this happening. I want this to be a learning lesson for you and for her as the employee and for you as the manager. I want you to have to remember me when you close out tonight to go, oh, we had someone do a refund through debit. Fuck, this is a hassle. That way you can remember the whole time that this could have all been avoided if she had just said, hey, we don't have carbonation today. Would you like an iced tea? Or, hey, it's going to be a second. I have to get your drink from the lobby. Instead of just saying, I don't know. I don't know how to fix it. What do you want me to do? And shrugging. Girl, bye. You'll always be inferior when you never want to be better. Do you want to see me take a break? I think you want to see me take a break. Eating better is easy to do with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. These never-frozen meals are chef-crafted, and you can really taste the difference. Every week, I have over 35 options to choose from. They have anything you're looking for, whether you're looking for something keto-friendly, calorie-smart, or even flexitarian. Each meal has no prep, no mess, and it's the perfect solution for fast, premium options with no cooking required. This week, I ordered jalapeno lime cheddar chicken and spicy cilantro cauliflower rice. And let me tell you, it was the perfect balance between spicy and savory. I can't believe that something so delicious only took me 2 minutes to heat up. Factor's really changed my meal game, and I can't say enough great things about this company. Head to factormeals.com/verydelta50 and use code verydelta50 to get 50% off. That's code VERYDELTA50 at factormeals.com/VERYDELTA50 to get 50% off. You may have seen today's guest as a correspondent on The Daily Show. She's a comedian, an actress, now an author who keeps our asses laughing. It's the one and only Dulce Sloan.
Hi, friend. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, before we get into what I wanted to talk to you about, I was doing my makeup, and I have this thing where I will constantly say a name or a word, and then I will twist it into other things. So I'll be like, "Oh yeah, so Dulce Sloan, Dulce Own," and like I'll change it. And I decided I really need you to be on Celebrity Drag Race.
Yes,
and I need you to be Dulce Colby.
Ooh.
Because Sasha Colby is your mother.
Yes, Sasha Colby is my mother. It's so funny. I saw her at the Emmys and I was like, hello, mother. She said, yes, I am your mother. She said, I mean, she's like, well, you know, it's not on your Instagram, but that's fine. And so that's why I had to update my Instagram.
Yeah, bio. You have to.
And she's like, well, it's not on your Instagram bio. And I was like, if your mother says something, then you have to change it. So I went to my Instagram. It says, daughter of Sasha Colby. It's literally on my Instagram bio. But me and her got nominated for a GLAAD award.
Yeah.
For when she came on the show. And it's so funny because I had like somebody was asking me about it in an interview. And they're like, well, why did you bring her on? I said, because she was the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to be a judge on the show, which was a dream come true because I've been watching it since 2009 when I was on Logo. And I also just wanted to celebrate her because she was like, her whole thing is like she wanted to tell stories about like happy trans people.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be, everything doesn't have to be sad and a tragedy. And I was like, oh, I understand that as a black person and as a black woman. I don't know if you remember, me and you bonded on Instagram one time.
About face powder. That's where we connected.
Yes. It's the Airspun powder. I started using it because all I wear is like a little concealer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't wear like tinted powder anymore. I don't like wearing that much makeup unless it's for work.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's just like you do a little concealer under the R and around the mouth and, you know, down there. And then that. The Airspun, and I'm done. I love it.
Yeah. I remember when I was in high school watching Kids in the Hall, and there was a scene, like the opening credits, where the camera was going up the stairs, and they were in drag, and it was so thick and opaque. Mm. And I was like, how do they do, like, how does that even happen? Like, I didn't understand what makeup was, because all I knew was what the women in my family wore.
Yeah.
And then later, once I started doing drag, I realized that the queens were all using Coty Airspun powder, which is so, at the time, was so thick. And then I realized my mom was wearing that.
Oh.
I never looked, but she would do the same thing you're doing, which is put concealer on and just hit her face a little bit because it was had that extra coverage.
Just that little bit, because I get the translucent color and then it just like mats everything down.
Right.
And it gives you like an effect where like it looks like you have one more makeup than you do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always been like I try to wear the least amount of makeup as possible. Yeah. But you go on some of these shoots and depending on like who the makeup artist is, it's so heavy handed.
Right.
I was on one shoot and at the end of the shoot when I got back to my hotel, I took my finger and I ran it down my face. And I was a different color underneath.
Wow.
And it was a black makeup artist. But is that is it very much that, like, I remember Trixie Mattel saying one day that all the women are wearing drag queen makeup.
She's right.
Now, like, when you look at the tutorials and stuff like that, I was like, this is theater stage makeup. You work in an office. Why are you contouring your nose down like
that? Yeah.
You were going, you work at an office and you were going to Applebee's with your boyfriend after this. Why are you painted for the cheap seats?
Well, we were talking off camera. I mean, it's just like, the you know, the, every bit of the industry is geared towards making women specifically feel like whatever smells their body make is wrong.
Yes.
Whatever your skin looks like is wrong.
Yeah.
Every, your eyelashes are not long enough. Your hair's too curly or not curly enough.
Right.
I mean, all of these things that people are built in historically, and it's still happening. I always think it's so sad when I see people go, oh, I've got my lash extensions, and they're so curly and so long that their eyes look like they're weeping.
Yeah.
And they can't see. And I think to myself, like, I know you want to have that bit of glamour.
Yeah.
But why are we conditioning people to believe that that's what it's supposed to look like? It's supposed to replace what you have.
Well, there's the thing about eyelash extensions is that they're so heavy.
Yeah.
And they're so thick. It's like even Lady Bunny in her Stone Age would never wear a lash that heavy because they're too unrealistic. Everyone looks nuts.
Yeah.
Everyone looks nuts. They're too thick. They're too heavy. And it's like, because what was interesting is like when I was growing up, it's like when you got a weave, it was the lie of, well, you know, I got Indian in my family, right? Mm-hmm. That nonsense. And then I remember where a couple years ago, it went from pretending that the hair was yours to going, this is a good weave. So now I see the hair is not yours. And we all know that.
Right.
But I can see that it looks good.
Even the like the toupee game, like I see that on like TikTok and stuff where people go in and have those done. They'll have their head shaved, and then this hair is theirs growing. This is the piece that they buy.
The man unit.
Yes.
That's what we're calling them now, the man units.
And I wonder, like, doesn't that start to itch maybe? Like, I'm not saying it doesn't look great. It looks fantastic.
Some of them are just like, oh, this is pure wizardry.
Amazing.
Unclockable.
Yeah.
Your hair is, especially in, like, black and brown communities, your hair is, like, directly linked to, like, self-esteem, especially with black men. The hair is very much a big deal. Having waves and right lineup and a fade and all of that. So it's interesting to see because I'm just like, well, can he wash this? Does he clean this? Mm-hmm. Like
when does it become not body wash but shampoo?
Right. Where everything's a 3-in-1.
Right.
Everything's a 3-in-1. So I guess when the hair is a certain length, you use a shampoo. But when your head is shaved, like one of my friends, is like, I watch him shave his head because I love watching men get ready.
In your book, your new book, do you, because you talk about dating, you talk about destiny, do you talk about dudes in the shower?
I don't. So all the men have nicknames.
Okay.
So there's the mechanic, there's the dummy, there's UPS guy, you know, because the names have been changed for privacy purposes. Mm-hmm. But also, these are their legitimate nicknames. Like, UPS guy is saved like that in my phone. He's not blocked.
Mm-hmm.
But the dummy was saved as the dummy. The mechanic at one point was saved as the mechanic. And one day we kind of had a little tete-a-tete. And I remember leaving his house and I remember walking down the stairs and getting in my car and going, he's going to go to bed comfortable. And I'm going to go home and cry.
Mm.
I can't allow that. So then I went back to the house. And he let me back in. And I just said, call my phone. He said, what is it? Call my phone. So I had a recording of my voice saying, this is a do not answer number calling you. And so I set my phone on his bed. I said, call my phone. He said, why? I said, just call my phone. He hears this come off and he's like, what? I said, also look how your name is saved in my phone. He said, the mechanic. I said, yeah, none of my friends know your name. Have a nice night.
Wow.
And I got back in the car and went home.
I mean,
and then we still talk to each other for 7 more years. So, like, it's still, I mean,
hello, friends.
Hello, friends. So, did it do what it needed to do? I don't know, because you still let me come back in the house.
Right.
But what I needed in that moment was for him to understand that I come here because I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to treat me a certain way.
And was he just doing and saying things that were?
He wasn't doing and wasn't saying. Mm. That was always the issue. So when I met him, I was 23. He was 25. And he owned his house and had two cars. Mm-hmm. So according to my Southern training, you trap his ass. The work's been done. The work has been done. He has a house and two cars. You know he has a good job. You know he's secure. This is the whole point. You want to get married. You want to have children. He has a home and a stable job. You be with this man.
And so you definitely wanted something more.
Absolutely. So it was like we had this long relationship. At a certain point, I dated one of his friends, the dummy. The dummy was beautiful. He was dumb as a box of rocks. But he was beautiful. He was walking sex. We first started dating. I remember him calling me on a cell phone with a SIM card in it.
Damn.
Mind you, he stopped in the middle of our first date to sell somebody weed. I was like, well, what won't happen again is me being involved in these shenanigans.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's dating stories like that. And then just talking about, like, my childhood and then being on The Daily Show. Because the chapter about Daily Show is called I'm Not a Writer on The Daily Show.
Okay.
Because all the comics, everyone's like, what's it like being a writer on The Daily Show? I was like, you have to ask one of the writers. I'm a correspondent. That's a different job.
I want to talk about that, that writing part. But let's take a break. We are back with Dulce Slim. First of all, we were talking earlier about being a correspondent.
Yes.
On the Daily Show. Mm-hmm. And I just admire people who do stand-up or write comedy or do any of those things. And I'm able to know people personally who do it.
Right.
And I can always remember, like, you know, being on Drag Race, I had so many different regrets. And one of the biggest regrets was doing a challenge where really they only need to see just a couple seconds of you being excellent.
Mm.
Right. And I wasn't able to achieve that. And so when we left that stand-up comedy challenge and went into the world as people who were on Drag Race previously, a lot of contestants started picking up gigs where they were like, hey, we're doing a drag show at this comedy place, but they want everyone to get up and be on the mic for like 5 minutes and talk. And so the girls would say, oh, I have a set that I do. I have a set that I do. And then I would watch and I'm like, I don't think that's even as, I mean, it's as bad as what I did. So like, why are they doing that? But I would never have the nerve to do it again. And I've always said to myself, you could never do that. It's just not possible for you to do that because you failed at that. And nobody would expect it to ever get better. So figure out a different way to deliver something funny to people. When I see people write those things and then they do those, obviously you do a set and you do it over and over and over. Mm-hmm. Do those develop over time where you're like, I'm going to take that out and put this in? Or do people just repeat over and over and that's like, you can have the same set for 10 years?
Oh, it develops. A prime example is if you look at my half hour, I talk about this woman coming up to me in a bodega while I'm trying to like just order food and live my life. And the way—
Is it the ham and cheese and the orange drink if you know you know?
Girl.
Or is it something different?
Let me tell you something. What's happening? Who is this for? It's not for us. Listen, I was incarcerated in New York for 6 years. I didn't eat out of bodega on a regular basis because I was trying to keep my neck. But I heard that order and it was just like, if you know, you know. I was like, ma'am, you don't know.
Right.
It sounded crazy.
Right.
It sounded like an order someone who's not from New York makes.
And it's like saying, like you said, like the bodega, like here, you know, raised in Southern California, any store that sells anything that's not a grocery store is a liquor store to us. You know what I mean?
Like a 7-Eleven's a liquor store?
Right. I'll just go to the liquor store. But my family always says, like, the grocery store is the market.
Oh.
I don't know why, but we always say, oh, I'm going to go to the market.
I love a market.
Yeah, I like that. Can you pick up good broke dick at a market?
Here's the thing. Broke dick is not at a market.
Where is it? Because I know you know the tricks.
Well, I'm trying to lose my ways. Broke dick is like at a 7-Eleven.
Where in there? Outside, inside?
Usually outside.
Okay.
Usually smoking. But also, this is the thing. Broke dick is tricky because broke dick a lot of times is dressed like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be in a grocery store or even at like a farmer's market, but you'll see them purchasing one item, right?
Okay.
Or you'll see them in a grocery store and you look in a basket and you're just like, sir, this is all ramen.
But what makes it good?
Broke dick is good because they have a lot of free time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're busy making beats or playing a video game. Because they always, for some reason, have a video game system.
Yeah, what is that?
Because some other bitch bought them the video game system.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing. good dick is known to make you do dumb things.
Are you able to discern, like, I know that I'm that this is just sort of transactional?
The best broke dick tells you up front, I'm a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to offer you but this dick. And you go, okay. And you accept that.
Right, right.
What's awful is that when you're trying to make, like, don't make broke dick a relationship. One, right. He does not want that. And if he does, he is trying to leech off your resources. He's trying to stay indoors.
Right.
Because they know they'll be at your house all the time or whatever. Oh, I got some dick at the house, blah, 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 blah. He knows that your friends at work and your best friend have been like, hey, get this motherfucker out your house. And they feel that coming. They've been in this situation before. They know that you are going to come home and be like, hey, bro, pack it up. Let's go.
Right.
So when you walk in the house, your house is going to be clean. He's probably going to cook some food and he's going to dick you down.
Right.
And then when your blood goes back to your brain, you're going to go, wait, the fuck? I was doing something. You were trying to kick him out. But he fucked it out of your mind. Well, that earned him 3 more weeks in your house.
Right.
And then you look up and now it's September. But good broke dick knows to not be in your house multiple days.
And that's the difference between the good and the bad.
Because good broke dick knows that you need to miss them.
Right.
Because then they're not going to text you back. They're not going to call you back. Mm-hmm. So good broke dick plays the game. Mm-hmm. Bad broke dick is just trying to avoid homelessness.
What kind of lovers do you like? And what kind of lovers seem to come after you that you don't really want? Besides broke.
What's always interesting to me is, like, I'll get, like, very tall, athletic men. And for a long time, I was like, this is a setup. What does he want? It's funny because I had Roy Wood Jr. say to me one day, don't discount what a man likes. Mm-hmm. I've had more men offer to give me a baby than have asked me out on a date. I've had complete strangers.
Wow.
Be like, I bet you'd be a good mom. I'm like, you've talked to me for 3 minutes. I could drown these fuckers in a tub. Like, you have no idea. I wouldn't. God bless. But it's just like, you have no idea the kind of person I am. You talk to me for 3 minutes.
Right.
It's like, I'd give you a baby. And it's like, what the fuck? What are we doing?
I didn't ask for that.
I didn't. Not from you.
Right.
Sorry, there's no fruit in this. You are in a grocery store. You have any fresh. There's no fresh anything in this basket.
Top Ramen.
You are buying Top Ramen and Intamin's coffee cake. And there's
single ply toilet paper.
Single ply toilet paper and energy drinks. Your heart's going to explode. No, I can't have a baby from you because I know you don't have life insurance. Insane to me, bro. Because the thing is, I've hooked up with some very beautiful men.
Uh-huh.
Very beautiful men. Because some days I'm just like, bitch, how did I do this? How did I figure this out? I'm just go, oh, this isn't a fluke thing.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a fluke thing. We're taught that, you know, very attractive men, very in-shape men don't like full-figured people.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what their sexuality is. Right. We're taught that they're not interested in a fuller figured person, which we both know isn't true.
Yeah, it's definitely not true. And what's interesting is that still, though, in that thread that we've been talking about and you've been saying, is this idea that they will objectify and they will sort of DL. They will say, oh, I want to be with you, but I don't want to make a commitment to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like that can happen. And I know what you're saying is true just across gender lines or mm-hmm. identity.
Mm-hmm.
Even as somebody who does drag, you know, there was a time in the early 2000s when we used to hang out at a club in West Hollywood and everybody that went there was trans. And so if you were a drag queen in the show, you would go in drag and you would leave in drag so that you gave this impression that this was the type of girls that went here.
Mm.
And there was celebrities driving in and out of there. It was like a cruising lot. And they would come in and they wouldn't mind. I mean, people that you absolutely know of. And like you said, you would be with beautiful, beautiful men
mm-hmm.
or famous men or mm-hmm. people that people would go, oh, I don't think they would be with you. People would be astonished to know that it makes absolutely no difference. They are interested.
They're interested. And I have to sometimes remind myself that they're interested.
I think it's important that you are on the book tour for Hello Friends so that you can impart this wisdom.
Thank
on people
you.
Because you're living through something, you're analyzing it. What you're saying is 1,000% the truth. And other people, I think, feel crazy when they don't feel validated and hear from someone like, oh, wait, I am experiencing that.
Yeah. And it's just like, you don't, because like, that's why the term like gaslighting is so, it becomes a thing. It's like, I mean, I think we're abusing this term like we abuse every other term. It's like, I remember when every comic would call other comics, well, they're a sociopath, where they're, and now everyone's narcissistic. Everybody's narcissistic. We're using this term, we're throwing it around. We're all diagnosing people.
Right.
Where it's just like, well, you know, this person's autistic, this person's on the spectrum, this person is a sociopath, this person is a psychopath, this person's narcissistic, this person. And I was just like, most of y'all didn't go to college.
Right.
And barely got out of high school.
Right.
I'm not finna let you use medical, true medical terms on somebody when I don't know if you can read above the sixth grade level. I don't want to do this with y'all. I have a theater degree. I can't be diagnosing nobody with anything. What are you talking about? All y'all out here doing improv and shit. Who are you to sit up and say, well, you know, this person has this and intermittent fasting is some shit you learned about on the internet. Do not bring this to me. Do not. I'm a college graduate. I got a degree in zip, zap, zop. Get out of my face.
Let's take a break.
Girl.
Do you ever see those like TikTok videos of people that just go to the lowest rated makeup artist in their city to get their makeup done?
Absolutely, it's so fucked the fuck up. Not. You're not going to give me it a skin infection.
They go and the people just have, and they're like pulling their skin. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
I had a makeup artist the first time I came to LA. It was for a commercial shoot and my lips were dry. And this bitch pulled the skin off. Like,
stop it.
Like, didn't even put any type of, like, she put like, a, and she was like, oh, you're, it's just when she went like that. I was like,
oh, no, ma'am.
Oh, you need to die today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Lord can't bless you acting like this. It was outrageous to me. You could have just put a little ointment, pat that down. Girl, it was.
Yeah.
You know what? I wish her nothing but the best because she's doing whatever the best she can. And sometimes people's best is the absolute worst.
It is. It is. We are back with Dulce Sloan. We are talking about a little bit of everything. This is the part of the show called Read Me Delta, where people write in their letters.
Read Me Delta!
We invite you to write a letter to readmedelta@gmail.com. You can ask questions. You can have quandaries. You can have queries.
Ooh.
We like to say no unnecessary commentary because people will send in messages like, you should wear this kind of wig instead. You should have so-and-so on instead.
No.
No, we don't want that.
Sit down.
Sit down. But we do want you to ask us questions. They don't always know who's here. So
I love this.
Yeah, this is fun.
With the letter opener.
Oh, this one here. I collect different letter openers. I don't remember where this one came from, but yeah, you can.
It's giving old school.
And you can use
classic.
You can, like, if your hair itches, or if you need to pick something up, or your teeth. I do it all.
Classic.
Okay, let's read this one.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Delta and lovely special guest, I come to you looking for advice about love. Well, hypothetical love, that is. You see, I've been crushing on this barista / donut artist at Dunkin' for almost a year now.
Dunkin' Donuts ain't got no baristas?
Well, they have donut artists, apparently.
Girl.
And I refer to him as Dunkin' Bay. I'm there so often he started addressing me by name and would go out of his way to say good morning to me, even if he wasn't near the area where I was picking up my mobile order. Lately, I've been sitting inside the Dunkin' to work on my assignments just to get a chance to interact more. I've been making strides with some small talk and often find us making eye contact at the same time or him smiling at me. I'm really starting to feel LGBTQ things. I don't know if I'm delusional, desperate, or a bit of both, but I have a crush on him. I even have dreams about him. Oh, Delta, what do I do? Am I just a sad college boy yearning for a customer service employee who's doing his job well? Am I onto something? Do I just call this out as an innocent crush and move on? Or do I try to find out more and assess the situation? If I knew he was into men, I probably would try to get to know him more and test the waters. I need your very expert advice. Help me. Sincerely, Yearning Avery.
I'll tell you this. any man that wants to talk to you will talk to you.
Well, and any man who's looking for something like that will be on one of the social media apps that give you notifications when their location is near you. So you need to turn those on to see what's happening with that person right then and there. And if you see like, oh, there they are. They showed up on one of them. There's 5,000. That could be an indicator in a way. Not everyone's on them. But if you think that you might be just, it might be like a carnal desire, that's one way you could find out.
Okay, so we can't say the word grinder on the show?
Yeah, you can say grinder.
Sounds like grinder. Sounds like you describe grinder.
Well, I'm just saying grinder, scruff, boy ahoy, like any of the apps that sniffies. Are you on sniffies? That's one for people who are maybe just testing the waters, because that's an app where they go on, they don't have to create an account. They can go on anonymously and just say, I'm in this area and I'm looking to try things out.
This sounds like men, because if women did this, we'd be murdered.
Right.
Okay, just checking. If you're trying to holler at this man, be like, hey, ask them to go to coffee at their own job.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, when do you go on break?
Right.
Or it's, hey, can we take a walk while you're on break or whatever? Say something. Say mm-hmm. something. But also, if you don't know if he's one of the children in the community, one of the alphabets.
Right.
If he was an alphabet, he'd let you know that he was an alphabet.
See, I think so. I think so.
And I think he's being nice. Also, as someone who's like had like I said, people, men love to flirt with me all the time.
Right.
So I've been this place like, I think he likes me. It's like also, women have been bought this lie, have been sold this lie that if a man is nice to you, he likes you. He's just being nice.
Right.
You're just a nice lady. So I've been caught up in this nonsense of a man being nice to me and thinking that he wants more than he does. He doesn't. He's nice to you because you're at his job.
Right.
He's making eye contact with you because you are looking at him.
Right.
He looked up and saw you looking. He wasn't looking for you, bitch. You were looking for him.
And I think he's got to know what's up if you're just going in and picking up a mobile order. Like, right. There's something there, too.
So you're going to pick up a mobile order, so you're not even fully invested in coming into Dunkin' Donuts because you made a mobile order. Now you're going in there and sit down.
There's other ways to flirt, I think.
There's
too.
Other ways to flirt. Also be like, hey, here's my number.
Right.
We spend a lot of time hoping and wishing that something would happen. I've wasted so much time mm-hmm. when I could have just been up front and been like, hey. Because sometimes I am up front. Because one of my friends was like, he said, the thing about Dulce is that we're in a space. She'll like be talking to somebody and flirt with somebody. And then it was like, nope, okay. Because he's like, you don't know who she's talking to. Because it's like, oh, nope, you, no. And then I just flit around to somebody else.
Right.
So it's just like, you're young. You're probably very cute, Avery. Say something. Hey, here's my number. Here's my Instagram.
That's a good one.
Right. Here's my Instagram. Hit me up if you're interested. And then just be done.
Right. And honestly, if some people have the anxiety where they're like, oh my gosh, if he turns me down, then what about this? What about that? You have the option of Starbucks. I mean, everybody at Starbucks is gay. Come on.
Only Dunkin' Donuts would hire a straight person.
Right. Everybody at Starbucks. You have to be gay, trans, LGBTQIA+ under the umbrella to work at Starbucks. Mm-hmm. Hello. And if you're not, I think the coffee will turn you that way.
I mean, listen, they're putting something in it.
They are. All right. So that's Avery. We ruined your life.
Or he could be one of the alphabets and then he's in a relationship.
Right.
Or he's just nice to you because you at his job, Avery. You can't trust nobody in a customer service situation.
I think you're right. Hi, Delta and sexy guest.
Cello.
I'm a cis woman who works a mundane office job in heels Monday through Friday. And once the weekend comes, I just want to get railed. Here's my issue. I've been dating this guy for a few months now, and every time we have sex at his apartment, he has the same playlist playing. I can't tell you how many times I've moaned to a Red Hot Chili Peppers song or climaxed to a Limp Bizkit song, and I'm sick of it.
Limp Bizkit!
At this point, I'd almost prefer silent sex, but that isn't possible because he uses the music to drown out our noise so his roommates don't hear. This is the top ramen, I think. How do I go about this? Do I tell him I made a special playlist this week? What songs would you and your guest put on the playlist? Thank you. Love you. Very Courtney. Oh my gosh, there's a lot of layers in here.
Okay, one, Courtney, go to your house.
Yeah.
Because if you work in an office, it sounds like you don't have roommates. One. Two, the mechanic one time I came over, he had this playlist, and I was so distracted by it that I got up and turned it off.
What was on it, you think?
Just regular black people having sex music.
Okay.
So just your, I was too busy laughing. So I got up and was like, hey, I got to turn this off. Mm-hmm. It was distracting. Mm-hmm. Also, I want to hear the sounds.
That's the point.
That's the whole point. Right. I need to make sure that this man is making these noises.
Right.
Because then I need to know, do I need to go to the next gear? Do I need to pull it down? Do I need to, right. I need indicators here. One, just ask him to change the playlist.
Well, I want to know who the roommates are. I want to know, like, is it, because if you're just, your verbiage tells me that you're serious about what it is that you want. You want to be railed. So it says to me that you worked hard. You want to get fucked.
Yes.
And you need to be serious about this. Have you thought about maybe talking to the roommates and bringing them in, or maybe just going with them and not the guy? Is he that great, or is this the only one around? I don't know.
Oh, because also, if it's the same playlist, then it's just like, okay, well, he should be done by the time Paramore comes on this playlist. It's like, you always know where he's going to be. Because if it's a playlist and it's the exact same playlist,
right?
Then I'm just like, all right, once Seven Nation Army pops up, I know that we're done.
Yeah, closing time.
Closing time. Also, it's like, I don't understand why she just can't be like, hey, can we put on my playlist?
Well, I want to know, because I think the playlist depends on the person, really, because it could be the mechanic.
Yeah.
It could have been
the dummy.
The dummy.
I mean, I'm very familiar about what the dummy would have put on. But who wants to have sex to Chamillionaire?
Right, right.
So
a playlist, now that I think about it, Courtney, a playlist is so unnecessary that they wrote songs about how you're supposed to hear the sex, not the playlist. She said macaroni in a pot.
Hilarious.
That's a wap. So you want to hear the sounds. You know what I mean? Are you being stirred?
Am I being stirred? Am I being shaken? What's happening?
Are you being scrambled?
Or am I over easy? I want to know. Because the thing is, if I can't hear, because a lot of times when you're giving a man fellatio, mm-hmm. they like to act like they're not going to make no noise.
Right.
Sir?
Yeah.
Challenge accepted. You about to make some sounds in here today.
Right.
You about to do it. Don't play with me.
Yeah, I'm trained.
You think I'm down here? I learned how to suck dick in the 90s. You understand me?
Right.
So all of that gagging and all that nonsense, gagging meant you didn't know what you was doing. Also, these men's like, oh, gag on it. Sir, that's not the dick you brought.
Right.
That's not the dick you brought,
My job is actressing. I'm not at my work right now.
Sorry, you're not paying me for this?
Right.
Because I know, because you think just because you bought a couple of appetizers? This because you
what
brought me
in. What
kind of
appetizers, though?
I do. Listen, Southwest egg rolls are very good.
They are so good. From Chili's?
Listen!
They are so good.
You think you brought me to the Cheesecake Factory? I'm sleeping with you because I woke to. Not because you got this Reese's Cup cheesecake.
Why is it so dark in Cheesecake Factory? I can't see anything.
Fucking question.
I can't see anything.
I can't see. You know what's even darker than Cheesecake Factory? A Soho House.
I've never been.
Listen, I was at Soho House when me and my homeboy went, and when they were closing, all the lights came up, and I looked at him. I was like, it could have been this bright the whole time.
It could have.
It was so dark in there. They have lamps. They have tiny touch lights at the table for you to read the damn menu.
Damn.
I'm like, who is this?
Because you'd be like, in here. Like,
just listen, there's ambiance, and then there's just darkness.
Right.
This is nuts. And then they lifted the lights up. I'm like, we could have been in at least 50% of this.
Right.
And I wouldn't have been out of my home with a cell phone light on. I was like, no. All this for shishito peppers? This is stupid.
Would you go there again?
Absolutely. I paid for a membership. But I might get rid of it. I will say that I think a lot of these questions, these advice things, it's like people just needing to speak up.
I think you know the answer. Yeah.
Girl, you know the answer.
You know the answer.
Have sex at your house.
You got to go to your house.
Yes.
You got to know if there are roommates in the house, that playlist is not going to make no difference. The ears are up against the door, the wall.
They know why you here, man.
Especially if it's a bunch of, like, possibly other men in the house. That does seem a little bit kind of dangerous, too, in a way. I mean, I don't know.
Listen, doors lock.
Yeah, but feet kicked in doors.
Feet do kick in doors. I'm from Georgia. We love a home invasion.
If you need to get in.
They would love to kick a door off a frame and right. steal all your shit. One of the mechanics homeboys, who we called Get to the Monies, definitely is probably still in jail.
Mm-hmm.
What year is it?
2004.
Yeah, he's 2020.
2024. Did I say 2004?
Listen, the other day I said 2014, and I don't know why.
Damn, didn't Easter used to be in April?
It did used to be.
What happened?
I don't know. Because it's not, I thought that Easter was set by Passover, but apparently it's not.
I thought we weren't going to have time change anymore.
Listen, I thought we were supposed to get daylight savings and then we didn't. And then I thought Easter was always set by Passover because the Last Supper is a Passover Seder.
Right.
So I always thought Easter was right after Passover because that's literally how it happened.
What is spring equinox?
Oh, that was a pagan holiday, which why we have an Easter bunny.
Are you a witch?
No, I just know how Christianity works.
But you can speak some Spanish.
I can't speak some Spanish. I'm not a bruja because I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But I do know the spring equinox, I think, is the longest day in the spring. And then the winter equinox is the shortest day in the winter. So spring equinox was like a fertility holiday. And so bunnies and eggs and fertility. So that's how they got wrapped up in the Easter. Because I never understood where this bunny came from and why this motherfucker had eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I grew up, it was Resurrection Day. So we didn't have Easter baskets on a regular basis. My godmother gave us one. But I didn't know like Easter. I was a full adult. I'm talking about it wasn't until like 4 years ago that I found out that the Easter bunny is supposed to be like Santa. So in the same way that
Santa's supposed to bring you shit.
Yeah. I didn't know the Easter bunny was the one bringing the fucking basket.
Right.
Because me and my mother were in Target yesterday and they were just like, it's like, oh, it's an Easter bunny evidence kit. And my mother was like, what the hell is this? I was like, I don't know. And then I remember, oh, you know, like Santa, they'd be like, here's a little coal, here's little footsteps because Santa came. The Easter bunny was like Santa. So the same way that Santa brings you presents, the Easter bunny is supposed to bring you an Easter basket.
Oh, I thought your parents were supposed to do that.
Then what the hell was the bunny doing? But I did want to give you something because I'm so happy to be here. Me and comedian Lace Larrabee started our own lip gloss line called Giggle Gloss.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
And all of the colors have comedic names.
Okay.
And so there's six colors in the line. And so we picked colors that would look good on me and on Lace, who is a white woman.
I'm already in love with these because these are my speed. Let me see.
So the three colors in my collection are No More Broke Dick, my ministry.
Okay.
Future Wife, my manifestation.
Okay.
And Amos Lady, which is what them boys in Atlanta used to call the kid when she was walking through. You know what I mean? So like in New York, they'd be like, yo, ma, which is annoying. In Atlanta, you walk by, it's like, they're saying Amos Lady, but it's pronounced Amos Lady, Amos Lady, Amos
okay.
Lady, Amos Lady, Amos Lady. And I don't know how to spell Amos Lady, but I know how to spell Hamus Lady.
Hamus Lady.
Amos Lady. So, and then Lace's
These
colors.
Are gorgeous.
Thank you. Lace's colors are Purse Vodka, Lafia Majora, and I'll Show You Crazy.
Lafia Majora.
Yes. People think they can't say it, but it's like, no, it's Lafia Majora.
Are you wearing one of these now?
I am currently wearing Lafia Majora with No More Broke Dick on top.
I like layering stuff.
I like layering.
I really do.
So Purse Vodka and No More Broke Dick are shimmers. So there's two shimmers and then there's four standard colors. So like
there's literally an option for everyone in here. And these shimmers are really sickening because they seem like neutral enough that if you mm-hmm. did it's like just a pencil if you wanted to. Or mm-hmm. maybe some people don't even like doing that. They just like touching their lips with it and going. You know what I mean? Where can people find these?
At gigglegloss.com.
Gigglegloss.com.
It's G-I-G-G-L-E gloss.com. Me and my mother pack the orders by hand.
Aww.
So if you've received an order of Giggle Gloss, we ship out the orders. All of them are shipped from my house. Me and my mom pack them.
That's
and she
fierce.
Loves going to the post office.
If you're looking for, I mean, honestly, really though, this is a sickening set.
Thank you.
I love this. Book tour is still happening.
I'm going to be at the LA Festival of Books on April the 21st. So yeah, my manager tricked me into writing a book. And one of my favorite parts of the book is that I dedicated it to me.
I love that.
Because writing a book is hard as hell.
I've heard
and
that.
And listen, that's a thick book. This ain't no pamphlet, okay?
Right, right.
This ain't no children's book. I had to put words on 240 pages and then write an acknowledgement and a dedication. So I was joking with my manager. I was like, I should dedicate it to me. And that's exactly what I did.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
So fun. Thank you so much for listening to and watching Very Delta. Our show comes out every Monday. Subscribe to Mom Podcast YouTube channel and turn on your notifications so you never miss an episode. Search for Very Delta on your favorite podcast apps to listen to the audio-only version if you can't take all this beauty in the visual format. You can also sign up for our premium offerings on Mom Plus Gold by visiting mompodcast.plus. where you get weekly episodes of more Very Delta. Don't forget to send all of your questions to readmedelta@gmail.com. You can follow me on Instagram @deltawork. Where are you on social media?
I'm at DulceSloan.com, DulceSloan, Dulce, on all of the things, and GilgoGloss.com.
Yep, that's where you can find it. And don't forget to check out the book, Hello Friends. Thank you for watching, and until next week, keep things very Delta. To listen to Very Delta ad-free a day early and to get access to more Very Delta, sign up for Mom Plus Gold at mompodcast.plus. Very Delta is produced by Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom, hosted by Delta Work. Production supervision and engineering by Margot Padilla. Editing and post-production by Doug Robertson, with original theme music by Will Pitts. Executive produced by Willem, Alaska, Big Dipper, Camille Stennis, and Joe Cilio. Sir!